Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the end of the year. It's the end of the year.
We definitely confirmed that the lander is on the surface.
Just the technological achievements alone.
One of the beliefs is that these comets were responsible for bringing much, if not all, of the water to our own planet.
Just to show that we can go to a comet, that we can orbit around it.
I can only hope that on landing day, there were young kids watching who will now move their career to space science.
That we can put a lander on the surface.
As we close in now on the end of 2014, we look back now at a remarkable year for space exploration and the historic moment for astronomy when Rosetta reached Comet 67P and successfully landed a probe called Philae right on its surface. Now, it was a mission 20 years in the making. Philae was able to land safely on the comet's surface after a seven-hour cold descent from its mothership. The dishwasher-sized robot's battery ran out of juice after its mission. But preliminary results from Philae's experiments on 67P taught us more about the origin of water on Earth than we have ever known before, and that's just the beginning. Fred Janssen is Rosetta's mission manager at the European Space Agency. For him, 2014 has been an emotional and scientific rocket ride, beginning with Rosetta waking up from hibernation in January to Philae's landing on 67P in November.
The year started with excitement and we ended with excitement. And now it was real tense. I mean, it had never been done, hibernating a spacecraft for 2.5 years. And it had to wake up autonomously. And then when it let us wait another few minutes additional to what we thought, that was breathtaking, I can say.
And with that signal came a huge 2014 for you and for all your crew, for all your colleagues, because it went from being, well, you know, let's be honest, pretty much under the radar of the world, basically ignored, not by everybody, but only the hardcore geeks even remembered that you had a mission. All of a sudden, 2014, you approach the comet, you orbit the comet, you landed on the comet, all with the world watching. You bounced off the comet. I mean, you sort of went from being, can I say, maybe in the eyes of the world, a nobody to being a rock star.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, of course, we have this, the wonderful looks of the comet help us a lot. This was not a boring, round piece of stone or whatever. Immediately, the first time we got images of it, it immediately looked strange. I mean, there was a buff duck, whatever comparison, a Klingon warbird. All the comparison were made immediately. And of course, also the involvement of social media is new in this business, but it really worked. And what is important, of course, in this business, you know, I'm 57. When I was young, I watched the landing on the moon from the living room, watching TV. And I can only hope that on landing day, there were young kids watching who will now move their career to space science, space operations, space business, and get to achieve what I have been privileged to see over the last year.
Well, can we talk about, look, Dr. Janssen, the mission is fantastic. Following it on YouTube is even better. Lots of excitement, lots of good times. But really, the science is the important thing, and we're not going to forget about that. Let's take a minute and talk about the most recent findings from just a week or two ago. You all published your first findings from sampling the water aboard 67P. Now, this was important because a lot of people theorize that the water on Earth may have come from comets. Now, my understanding is that the radioactive properties, the deuterium in the water on a comet, isn't the same as here on Earth. And now you're saying, no, the water on Earth probably didn't come from comets. How can we tell?
Well, that's a bit of a sharp turn. The water on Earth didn't come from comets like this exclusively. That doesn't mean that comets like this never impacted Earth. It means that globally, the population of comets which delivered, if comets were responsible, the population of comets which delivered water to Earth wasn't this one. And that's the interesting bit, because comets come in families. I won't go into all the details, but there is one family of comets which is called the Jupiter family. And there were two comets of this type, of which the deuterium to hydrogen ratio was known and to be compatible with earth water. So now we've got 67p, where we measure this ratio, and it's three times higher than it is on Earth. That means that not all the Jupiter comets have the same pedigree, which in itself is interesting, because that was one of the underpinning assumptions. And again, when I was giving my lecture today, I said to the people, well, you know, ticking off a box and saying, yeah, it's correct, this was it, that's one thing, but you now have the excitement of, hey, man, it's more difficult than we thought. And there are other things which could be wrong. So the search continues, and it may learn us a lot in a very different direction, namely the origin and the pedigree of comets and comet families is different than what we think. So maybe the mechanisms which created the Kuiper Belt and the Oort cloud, where all of these things live, is just different.
Gosh, you know what I detect from you, Dr. Janssen? It's pretty amazing that in astronomy and science, a lot of times, being wrong is almost as exciting as being right, isn't it?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, there were some of the greatest inventions started in testing an idea which proved to be wrong. And, well, you know, this is rocket science. It is exciting. You learn things about the origin of life, the universe, and you learn that some of the ideas which everybody assumed for 20, 30 years were right, apparently were not totally right, and may even have been wrong all the way. So you can do something new. You throw away the old scrapbook and you start a new one.
So we've got some readings of Philae's sampling of the water on 67P. What's next, scientifically? What's the next thing that we're going to see from the mission?
Okay, well, this particular result on the water, by the way, came from the Rosetta Orbiter, one of the instruments there. The results from Philae itself are being analyzed at the moment because, well, the scientific process takes time. You have to be careful and accurate. Well, one of the big things there is that, well, we did visit multiple places and we see differences between these places. So it's a blessing in disguise that we actually didn't land on just one spot. So that data needs to be analyzed and carefully looked at. And yeah, what's next is that Rosetta itself is going to continue its journey alongside the comet, and it will become much more active in our approach to perihelion over the next 9 months. August next year is the closest approach point of the comet to the sun, when it will become really active, and Rosetta will be there to watch it. And on top of that, icing on the cake, again, we hope that the lander wakes up somewhere.
As it gets closer to the sun, gets more solar power pumping into the solar panels, it might get enough energy to wake up as the comet heats up.
Yeah, basically between now and June, July, the distance of the comet to the sun halves, which means that the amount of solar energy per square centimeter goes up by a factor 4. And that is exactly what we need to be able to start recharging the batteries.
Well, Dr. Fred Janssen, we're going to let you go. I know you're busy, but I want to just ask you, you know, New Year's Eve is coming up, 2015, just around the corner. You're going to go to sleep, I presume, at some point on New Year's Eve, the last night of 2014, and maybe look back a little bit. Sum it up, if you can. 2014 for you, what a year.
It's. I feel emotional as you were asking the question. It's been a very, very rewarding, but also a horribly difficult year. My life, my personal life, has been on hold for 18 months. And I really look forward to just having a family life again and being able to enjoy a successful project instead of continuously stressing over things which have to be corrected and managed and altered.
A little bit of downtime for you and your colleagues as 67P hurtles closer to the sun. And then we'll bother you again, I hope.
Yeah, well, hibernation is indeed what I now need. And then we'll hear from you again.
Dr. Fred Janssen, Mission Manager of Rosetta, you've earned it. Thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome.